to make the name of Jesus known. Now, I know for some of us who are still debating internally this whole topic of serving and whether to step out into what God has called us to, I can guarantee you there is no greater joy in this life than to step out in obedience to God. And it's always hard at first. It's always going to be a bit of a struggle. But we know that those who step out in faith, God will always honor. Now, last week, if you're here with us, you know I went into the important topic of spiritual gifts. All of us have at least one gift. There are 20 gifts in the New Testament. And for us to discover that, we must step out to see what's happening around us. Whilst asking God, how can I be used to speak into this situation? Last week I used this phrase, see something, say something. So as Christians, we need to be constantly aware of our surroundings, aware of our environment, and then asking God to use us to speak into that situation. Now today, we're going to finish 1 Corinthians 12, so get your Bibles ready. We're going to look at verses 12 to 31. And we're going to look at an important topic for today. If you take a look around you just for a second, to your left, to your right, the church is filled with individuals who are so different to you. There are people here with different backgrounds, childhood upbringings, experiences. Some were born in the US, some were born overseas. And on top of this, everyone has different giftings that God has given you. And so with all that in front and around us, how are we to function together and serve one another wholeheartedly and not superficially? Well, the Apostle Paul addresses this important question in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31 with a great metaphor on the body and shows us that Corinthian believers and us today, how we ought to function and genuinely serve one another as part of this body that belong ultimately to Christ's body. So today my message is titled Serving One Another. Serving one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and listen to your word. We ask that your spirit work mightily in and through us as we learn what it means to be part of this community of faith, that each of us have a part to play in the building up of this body. Lord, for those who are weaker, for those who are stronger, help us to understand and relate to one another so that your name will be glorified and that the world will see our unity. Lord, we thank you for this word and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first place that I was taken to right off the plane in 2016 when I arrived here in California was the burger chain In-N-Out. Uncle Gary came back from Taiwan. Him and Rena, they took Ruth and I to In-N-Out Burgers. Once we got off the plane, the first time in California, and I remember I stepped into In-N-Out and I was like, wow, this place is the best, right? They have these, like, everything looks a bit retro. Everyone's got these little hats on. And then I looked at the burger menu and it was $3 at the time. And I was like, no way, how can this be? And then I tried the burger and my eyes were open. I was like, what is this sorcery? I've been missing out my whole life on these wonderful burgers. And from that day on, I went on this journey in falling in love with American burgers. The Counter, Five Guys, Shake Shack, Jeffrey's Hamburgers. But I really have to say that no matter how different all these burger places are, and my favorite was still In-N-Out. It's cheap, it's nice, it's convenient, it's fast. I would say it's the goat of all burgers, it's the greatest of all time. Now, I'm saying this not because our church lunch later will be having In-N-Out. Imagine that, right? If you guys want that to happen, I'm all for it. Elder Thomas is the 2025 Elder Board Chairman, so he can make that happen. But in all seriousness, the reason why I mentioned In-N-Out Burgers this morning is because the longer I attend and serve in the church, I'm seeing more and more the In-N-Out mentality. This is what I mean. For many of us, the natural tendency is to come in and out of church. Why? Well, it could be for various reasons. Some have been hurt by a community in the past. Some are scared of commitment to an institution. Some believe that faith is between themselves and God and no one else. Whatever the reason, I think ultimately it boils down to our Western culture emphasizing and worshiping individualism and consumerism. The focus of self and the focus of how the church can cater for my needs. So this results to people coming in and out, switching, joining, unjoining the community, looking around with the mind, what's in it for me? So these combined together make a deadly combination to what Paul is advocating for the church community life found in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 to 31. So with that in mind, I pray that as we read scripture today, as we look at what Paul says, it pulls away at our hearts so that we truly live out what God has intended for community. So I'm going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the whole body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if a whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Now, in what we just read, we can summarize today in three sections. We need one another, we differ from one another, and we are to care for one another. We need one another, we differ from one another, and we are to care for one another. In this context, Paul is speaking to a bunch of Corinth Christians who come from different backgrounds, nationalities, and upbringings. There were Jews, Greeks, slaves, those who were free, poor, rich, educated, uneducated. Think about it. It can't get more diverse in this crowd. Jews, they don't like the Greeks. They're not really friends. You can't get further in a socioeconomic status than a free man and a slave. It was a super diverse place. On top of this, they had one more thing that added to their distinction. They had different spiritual gifts. Some could speak in tongues. Some had the gift of leadership. Some had prophecy. Some had gifts of healing. And so in this melting pot of age, gender, social status, and spiritual giftings, how is the body of Christ supposed to function properly? How on earth are these Christians who have been brought by the blood of Jesus serve one another? This was the issue in the church which was brought to Paul's attention. So if Paul first uses the metaphor of a body, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Paul kicks us off with an image that the people would have understood and appreciated of those times. The Roman state and especially Stoic philosophers of those times, they frequently used the analogy of the body to refer to politics and whatnot. So it would have immediately clicked for these Corinthian Christians. Paul saying, hey, we are all different. We have all different parts of the body, like a stomach, like a finger, like an ear, like a nose. Though you are different, the fact of the matter is that you belong to this one body. Now, how do they belong? Well, verse 13 tells us they have been all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Now, this is interesting. When we see the words baptized, we immediately think water baptism or Holy Communion or those sacraments. But baptism here is used metaphorically here. It refers to the Spirit's work within the believers to unite them to the larger body of believers. So the idea Paul is saying, even though you lot are different, even though you're free, you're slave, you're Jew, you're Gentile, you're poor, you're rich, you are all immersed spiritually by the Spirit into the body of Christ. In other words, you guys are partakers of the Spirit's work which brought you to Jesus, who has cleansed your sins away, who has given you new life, and the Spirit unites all of you under the headship of Jesus. This is what the church is. It's not a group of religious people gathered together to enjoy desired functions. It's a group of people who share the same life under the Spirit of God, who believe Jesus is Lord, who are filled with the same Spirit, who are given gifts by the same Spirit. Now, Paul goes on to say from verses 14 to 20, yes, even though you are under Jesus, it doesn't mean there is no diversity with the body. You are different. The body consists of many parts, not just one body part. Therefore, no one should say that he or she does not belong to this body. We have this same conversion experience by the Spirit of God, but we are different. So here's the great truth. Different parts of the body do different things. Just like my hands write, or my legs kick a ball, or just like my mouth eats and chews away at snacks later, Paul's using this metaphor of our body to call us to recognize and see our diversity and to be content with what we are able to do as part and part of the body of Christ. If you're a hand, that's good. If you're an ear, that's great. If you're a mouth, then you have a part to play. This reminds me of a childhood song that we used to sing in Sunday school. If you know it, just raise your hands. It goes, if I were a butterfly, right? Do you guys know this song? Or is this just, yeah? The older, if I were, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings, right? If I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, for making me sing, right? And then he goes, if I were a fish in the sea, I wiggle my tail and I'll giggle with glee. And then he goes this, but I just thank you, Father, for making me me, right? I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Paul is basically saying, if this is your part in the body, if you're a hand, if you're an ear, if you're a nose, if you're a mouth, God has put you perfectly in this body. And the reality is, each member of the body is not here by accident, but every part of the body is where he wants it to be. But what happens when Christians operate and think on their own? In verse 19, describes the silliness of this again by using the human body analogy. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And then just go off on their own. It just doesn't make sense. If each body part doesn't need each other, it would ultimately just be a monster. It's not a body. To put it more practically, if today you and I insist in serving the church in the things that God didn't intend us to serve in, it would just look silly. It's a prideful rejection of God's perfect plan for us in this life. Now, Paul looks at the other side of the coin, verses 22 onwards, which is the last section of Paul's arguments. We are to care for one another in the body. So Paul puts his focus on the weaker members of the body, who in this context, they thought they lacked significance in the community because they had gifts that weren't as spectacular as other gifts. But Paul states, every part is necessary. Even the weakest, even the least important, in fact, they are the most necessary. They're indispensable. For instance, the internal parts of our bodies, though we cannot see, are incredibly significant. Without the functioning of our lungs, the external parts could not function. And the problem is, within community, often we place so much emphasis on parts of the body that are more visible, like leaders, teachers, people up on stage. But this wrongly equates to visibility with value. Not every member has the same gift, the same role, the same level of responsibility. But every member matters. Those with ministries behind the scenes, those with ministries cleaning up in the kitchen, doing the AV, cleaning up the chairs, calling people for prayer, supporting people, cooking for people, they are just important. In fact, they are probably more important. The best way to see this is not see who's of more value or who's not. Rather, we must look at ourselves as the body of Christ, part by part. When a part is missing, it hurts all of us. If a part is rejoicing, then we all rejoice and be glad. Many years ago, this was back in Australia, I had the chance, I was driving in the car, I would put on Pastor Ko, Pastor Ko's old sermons. Pastor Ko is a Kosuyuan, Musa, the old sermons. Now, I'm very old school, right? This was this is very old preacher, right? A lot of people my age listen to all the stuff online now, but I would put in CDs and listen to Pastor Ko's sermons. And in one of his sermons, he says, the job of the pastor or the leaders of the church is to carry the burden of the sheep. If the sheep is hurting, emotionally down and out, is in pain, then the pastor and the elder and the leaders are also in pain. They're also down and out. They're also in pain. And only until they become better, he says, then the pastor can rejoice. Those words really stood out to me. And that's how I've been thinking about ministry. Sometimes late into the evening and early in the morning, if people have opened up to me about relationships and about problems, about faith, I also feel the same hurt for them. And I will only rejoice when those things are turned around for the better. So should be the case for all of us in this body. Every one of us seated here. If one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer alongside that part. If one part is honored, then we all get the glory and honor. It's impossible for one part of the body to be in pain and the remainder to be at peace. Think about this. Who here has allergies? Right? Some allergies, right? If you have allergies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not just itchy eyes, right? It affects your whole body. If you have really bad allergies, it's pain, you're sneezing the whole time, you feel completely drained inside and out. Or maybe like a toothache. We've all experienced a toothache of some sort. It's hardly ever just the tooth itself. Your head hurts, you get a migraine, your body hurts, everything else gets affected. Likewise should be the case for those around us. If one member is down, then all of us are down. As I was preparing this message, I thought about my firstborn, Erin. When she was born and she started to crawl and run, whenever she hit herself by accident and bumped her head, I can tell you honestly, I was in great pain. If she bumped her head, and my head would be in pain. I remember at this moment, she had some issues with her bowel movements, and she couldn't go to the toilet. And then I was telling Ruth, I was like, I feel constipated too. You know, a lot of mums and dads, you probably think, it's like a baba you're being, right? I couldn't sleep. I felt the same pain. When she finally went to the toilet, I also felt like I felt finally relieved. Why? Because of love. And this is how we should feel and how we should interact with one another. Because this is what ultimately Paul sums us up in verses 27 to 31 and leading on to 13 and 14. He says, love. Genuine love for one another. When one person is sick, then we are all sick. If one person is glad, then we are all glad. Now, in today's word, there are a couple of lessons in which we can carry with us as we serve this year. And the first one I want to talk about is this. Unity in diversity is our strength. Unity in diversity is our strength. This week, I was watching the news. I know a lot of us don't watch the news anymore, especially political news, but I've shown a great interest in American politics, especially because recently there's a lot of talk about Panama, Canada, Mexico, the Gaza Strip. I feel like at the rate of things, Australia will be next. All right. So if you're a green card holder, if you're a citizen, be ready to be enlisted to fight and take over these countries. All right, this morning I was listening on the news. Justin Trudeau was like, "Yes, Trump does want to take Canada as the 51st state." But in all seriousness, I stumbled across this video, this news, and the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, was giving a talk and was saying, the dumbest phrase that he's ever heard in military history is diversity is our strength. And then he follows up by saying, rather it should be unity is our strength. And I thought about this. I was like, praise God for this great sermon analogy. For the Christian, God's people, our unity in diversity is our strength. It's not either diversity or unity. Our unity in diversity is our strength. This is what I mean. We are all so different. I've mentioned that before, right? Just because we're Chinese immigrants or second or third generation ABCs, yes, we're similar in some ways. Yes, we may think similar in some ways. But if you actually get to the core of the argument, we are actually so different. I bet you if I did an experiment now, to get you guys up from your seats and ask, who voted for the Democrats? Go to the left. Who voted for MAGA? Go to the right. It would be so interesting, wouldn't it? We're so different. But in our diversity, in our different beliefs of politics, our childhood upbringings, we are united as one under the body of Christ. People look inside and see, hey, there are a bunch of people who are so diverse. I was talking to a neighbor yesterday, and he was like, wow, your church is super diverse. Yes, Chinese, English, third generation, second generation, young and old. People see it. They start to see what is drawing these people who are so diverse into this one place. Well, it's because of the body of Christ. When we are unified under Jesus, it becomes our strength to go out into this world and serve those around us. If you look at the world, if you look at all the other social groups, there are a lot of comparisons, there are cultural differences, there are conflicts. And so what happens when people start favoring people, people start favoring people that look like them? So naturally, our tendencies is to, throughout middle school and high school or college, we only associate with people who look like us. That's the way of the world. Whether you like it or not, if you look carefully, that is no joke. Last week, I received a phone call when I was in the church office. This lady was asking me, what sort of people make up your church? Now, she specifically asked, where do people come from? Now, I know exactly where she was getting at. She wanted to know where most of our people came from. She wanted me to go through the list of countries. And so I told her. And when then she heard of a people group from a particular place, she then hesitated and said, oh, they don't think like me. They're different. And at that time, I wanted to hang up, right? But I kept being polite. But this incident got me thinking. You see, our natural tendency is to associate with people who look like us, who think like us. But that shouldn't be the case for Christians. When the church is diverse, though united under Jesus Christ, we reflect God's image, his beauty, his wisdom. And that is the greatest defense of the gospel. Second point, in and out to in and give out. In and out to in and give out. You see, at the beginning of our message, I mentioned In-N-Out Burgers. Now, you might be thinking, Ben, why are you still going on about burgers? Today, I thought about it. I don't mind if you guys come in and out of church. But let me add to that. As long as you come in and give out. As long as you come in and give out. Come in and give out. Give out your time, your support, your prayers. Give out your energy. Give out the giftings that God has placed you in your life. So we're not only coming in and out of this place for a message, for a few songs, a bit of snack later. We are involved in people's lives. I remember I used to be invited early on when I first arrived in the U.S. to go around different high schools to preach. I've been to Aragon, Garn, and Carmont High. And I would often see these signs around schools that say this. Say no to drugs, yes to life. Who's seen that, right? Say no to drugs, yes to life. And I recall this because I thought about it. If I could put up a sign at church, it would say this. Say no to isolation, yes to involvement. Say no to isolation, yes to involvement. Let's be real. It's very easy to go down the route of isolation. Maybe because we're introverted or we don't feel like making effort. But let's be honest. In the body of Christ, in this community of faith, if we choose isolation, it's like drugs. It drains our life away. It takes life. But the flip side, as we get more involved, as we serve, we give life. It's life-giving because we are doing what God has intended for us to do, to serve and to love one another. So we've got to start being involved in the lives of people here. Today, for the first time, I want to do a short exercise. I normally don't do this during a message before I wrap things up, but I want to do a self-test, all right? For all of you to do a self-test right now. Now, this is not to shame you or to guilt trip you, but rather my purpose is to encourage you and for you to be aware. Today, I want all of us to do a quick self-test to see where we're at in the life of this community. I want you for the next minute or so, if you can, close your eyes, to think of one person in this church, both English and Chinese side, who's going through a tough time or a joyful season. Think of one person in this church, both English and Chinese side, who's going through a tough season in their lives, or a joyful season. It could be physically, emotionally, spiritually. Or maybe they could be celebrating something that God has been doing in their lives. Maybe it's a breakthrough in marriage. Maybe it's spiritual growth. Now, I want you guys to think outside of your family, okay? And you can't say, oh, you yourself are going through a hard time. Or say, oh, my wife is going through a hard time. No. Think of one person who's going through a tough season right now or a joyful season. All right, you can open your eyes. Now, in just that moment, in that minute, if you can name one person, if you can think of one person in your heart, then praise God. Praise God. Continue to be involved. Continue to keep your eye out for them. Continue to lend a hand. Continue to suffer with them. Continue to rejoice with them. Now, if you couldn't name at least one person, then please stand up. No. If you can't name at least one person outside your family, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. But today's an opportunity. It's an opportunity from the Apostle Paul to remind you, as I said at the very start, you belong to the body of Christ, not in isolation, but you're part and part of the whole body. And how I broke down today's passage, we need one another, we differ from one another, we are to care for one another. For those of you who couldn't name at least one person in your life, in this life of this community, remember, you need those around you. You're different to those around you, and you are called to care for those around you. So I hope today's message really stirs something in our heart and in the heart of our community to look at our main responsibility that God has given us, to love Him and to serve His people. You see, the church that you're part of is more than just a community that meets every Sunday. No longer should we have this in and out mentality, but we should come in and give out. We are a body made up of different members created by God to function and to be in communion with one another. We're a diverse group of people, but we strive for unity. Because in our unity, it's our unity in our diversity that brings about strength. And as we go forward, we make the name of Jesus known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have called us to the community of faith. Though many of us have different parts, though we play different roles within the church, but we ultimately belong to the body of Christ. And so, Lord, help us to be content with what you have been given us. Help us to not see and judge by the external factors of who's more valuable or who's not significant, but help us to see that we all have a role to play and we are part and part of this wider body of Christ. Lord, help us this morning to be involved in the life of this church, to not be in isolation, to not stick to ourselves, but to really think and to really see those around us and how we can go out and serve. Because, Lord, you have called us to be in this community. And, Lord, since we are here, you have called us to serve and love those around us. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. And we continue to press in and continue to ask that as we step up to serve this year, Lord, we can really do it with intentionality and we can do it with whole hearts, knowing that ultimately we are doing this not for our own name's sake, but we are doing this so that you get all the glory. And Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's